which we have at Maxwell and the experience we have of the deployment of vehicles on road and the corrections made of any issues which may have been faced, that experience which is there cannot be taken away. I can only say that we have made a very robust plan up to FY27, and of course it will be, the focus will be on profit growth as we have always done in the past.
Okay. Anything on CAPEX, Anurag?
As far as CAPEX is concerned, on the technology front, the CAPEX is already part of the business plan. But yes, any investments which will help to further grow the business beyond the business plan, of course, we would like to do it. We would not like to miss any opportunity there, you know, as far as the sales growth is concerned. Also, in future, once the in-house operations also start, at that stage also, whatever investments which are required, what I believe is not very high for a company like Endurance, and that will be also in future, because we have a very strong, you know, supplier outside. We cannot name them, but a very, very strong supplier. So we'd like to, of course, we'll work with him. But as the growth in business, we also have plans to, you know, do this in-house. But the CAPEX is not significant enough to really affect Endurance, to be honest. So that's the way I'd like to put it.
Perfect. Now, you know, if you see in the last, you know, few months, you know, this entry into PMS and DriveShop, these two verticals could potentially add about 1.5% of revenue in the next couple of years each. So do you have any number in your mind that the new areas that you would like to enter, whether organically, inorganically, technological partnership, what that number could be? Do you think that there is an aspiration that you have that 20% of the revenue should come from the new product that you plan to launch in the next few years? Any such number in your mind?
Well, see, we of course have a number for Maxwell. We also have a number at Endurance. But, you know, I cannot give, you know, these numbers at this stage, because I don't like to give forward-looking numbers, because there are so many uncertainties in this world. And you know, and if these numbers for some reason can be less, can be more, that only time will say. But I can say one thing, that Maxwell acquisition is a part of our focus of embedded electronics, and this focus started with starting ABS, as you know, which is a hydraulic electronic control unit. Even our high-end products of Adler has electronics. We are also working on an adaptive electrical, rear shock absorber in the future front fork. So electronics is something we have taken up. We'll be setting up an electronics lab at Chakan in Pune soon. We have a very, very strong team at Maxwell, which will also help us in our journey of embedded, you know, electronics. So I would say that apart from our products, which ABS already started in future suspension and brakes, I mean, as suspension and transmission, which is the clutches, we have a, like Mr. Akhil Aryan said, that we have also new products which we are planning to launch. But BMS is today the flagship product, and that's why we are talking more about that. And that's also a high value add product, and that's the opportunity which we had in Endurance, and we took it. You know, so you have to see what opportunities are available, and we are very confident of this product and new products, which both will be done at Maxwell and at Endurance, and definitely it will be a profitable growth, and definitely it will not be 1.5%. Let me assure you that. I mean, we don't acquire businesses and get into businesses, you know, to have such low percentages of share of business. So I can just leave you with that.
So. That's helpful. My next question is on Euro business. So how should we think about, you know, margins in FY23? You know, are you seeing some of the headwinds of, you know, metal and gas prices receding? While, you know, aluminium, you know, we have a pass-through clause, but, you know, for the gas price increase, were we able to pass a significant portion, you know, to the customers? That's the first question on Europe.
So I'll request Mr. Massimo Venuti to answer that. Massimo?
Yes, I'm here. So, for sure, the situation today in Europe is really tough due to the situation of the energy cost. Energy and gas reached an unbelievable price also before the Ukraine war, but now I believe that also for the next 6 months, 9 months, the situation will be more or less stable, also because in the last period of time we have seen also the situation of future more or less flat with the actual price. And only to remind you, in this moment, in the last quarter, we have had an increase of more or less 430% for the gas and 320% for the electricity compared 1 year ago. And so, for sure, this situation is not sustainable in the medium-long term. Something it happens in our negotiation, in our discussion with our customers, because they understood very well that they can go ahead in this direction without recognize this increase of cost to the supplier, because otherwise 90% of the supplier base will go in bankruptcy. With BMW, we obtained part of this recover, even if in our product portfolio we are speaking about only 5% of our total turnover. We are discussing also with the other customer, but frankly speaking, our expectation is that in the short time, a quick solution between NATO and Russia and Ukraine regarding this situation, because this is the only way to reduce the impact of the energy and gas in the European market, because we need a lot of time in order to be independent from Russia, and this is not feasible in the medium long term, in the short time, because this situation is affecting an important way the automotive business. In the previous quarter, as Mr. Jain told you, we lost 20% in terms of market, but please, also the month of April was very bad with minus 22%, and the expectation for May is more or less the same. Regarding the material, for sure it's a big problem, because we have had an important increase of aluminium, even if in the last week apparently there was a reduction of 2-3% compared the last quarter of 2021. For us, it's not a problem, as you know, because every 3 months we have a rule and we recharge this cost to the customer. But for sure, this increase of material cost affected our EBITDA. We closed in this financial year with 14.1% in terms of EBITDA. But without considering the impact of the increase of aluminium, the EBITDA should have been 15.2%. And so 1.1% is the reduction of EBITDA due only to the increase of aluminium. And on top of this, the energy cost effect in the total financial year 2022 was 6.4 million of euros. And so it means 3.2% of our EBITDA. And so, even if the situation continues to be very tough, as insurance overseas, we've been able offsetting these two effects to reach the 18.3% of profitability, that is more or less the same profitability of the previous year. For sure, the only way to overcome this period of time are the volume. If we don't increase the volume, if the market don't start again with a normal level of volume, the situation will be very tough. But this will depend from the semiconductor, from the war in Ukraine, also from the interest rate and also the inflation. As you know, in European market, we are not used to work with 6-7% of inflation. And so I believe that in some way, in the future, in the next month, the situation will continue to be tough. But I want to underline one aspect in the European market of the previous financial year. In this year, we have been able to acquire 71 million of euro new business. This is the best performance of the last 5 years in terms of acquisition. And so it means that the market is moving for sure into the electric technology, but as Endurance, we are a reliable partner for our customer. Otherwise, we have not been able to acquire this level of business. And so I continue to be optimistic for the future profitability of the company.
Perfect. That's it for me. Thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions on
Hello.
Maxwell acquisition. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yeah. So, a couple of questions on Maxwell. You're audible. So on the Maxwell acquisition, what is the minimum valuation which you'll have to pay for the balance acquisition of stake? Max, you indicated 1.7 billion, but the minimum would be?
If that's a figure, I'm sorry, I cannot share with you. You know, I can't share that figure with you. I've told you the maximum, you know.
Okay.
See, I said, it depends on the targeted financial achievement in the next 5 years.
Understood. No worries. Second question is with respect to the competitive advantage which Maxwell brings to the table on the BMS side, vis-a-vis many players who are there in the market who are also offering BMS. This question primarily needs to be seen in context that neither Endurance nor Maxwell has PLI benefit unlike many of your competitors. So in that context, what gives us confidence to gain share despite cost disadvantage, or rather despite incentive disadvantage?
Okay, this I will request Mr. Akhil Aryan to answer this. But just let me tell you one thing, that our manufacturing operations will be at Baluch, Aurangabad, which enjoys a mega project incentive. So as you know, that whatever we invest, we get 100% back within 7 years, 6 years or 7 years. That cannot be avoided. We are fortunate to be in an area like Baluch, Aurangabad, which is in D zone. And Maharashtra State has a very good experience of paying us this money. You know, so whatever incentive we get, it is paid well on time. Only during COVID, there was a slight delay. But they are very, very good at that, the Maharashtra government. So let's not ignore that fact, that whatever we invest, we are going to get a very large incentive, 100% of all the investments we do on this, which is not available to everybody who is not in Baluch, Aurangabad, you know. So just want to start, and then I'll hand it over to Mr. Akhil Aryan to answer you.
Yes, so to answer the question around competition, I think what's very important to understand is that, you know, Maxwell started as a company in 2017. Today we have over 5 years that we spent developing the R&D, not only just working on the R&D in the lab, but really deploying this inside of vehicles that are on the road, that are driving for millions of kilometers. If you look at, you know, the other BMS players out there, you either have, you know, for example, some mega suppliers like Continental, Bosch, X, Y, and Z that are focused primarily on the four-wheelers in Europe or in North America. The companies that are actually supplying BMSs and advanced electronics to the OEMs that have mass deployment in India are not necessarily coming from India. You know, they're either, you know, simple protection circuit modules that are being imported from China, or some, you know, small in-house development that some of the new age startups are doing. There are sure some global I would say BMS players that are trying to enter India through some partnership or contract manufacturing, you know, in India. But the reality is that there is absolutely no company like Maxwell that has deployed these products on Indian roads, learned from the issues, the challenges that are very specific to India, right? We are not a European company trying to push product into India with just optimized manufacturing. We have optimized the product. We have value engineered the product. So from a cost standpoint, it's not just about incentives. It's also about choosing the right components. It's about how do you build better software and embedded software that goes inside of the microcontroller that eliminates some of the hardware components and reduces cost. I think that given the fact that we have tried and tested this product, we're also far more safer and reliable as a choice for Indian OEMs or OEMs that are wanting to deploy in India or abroad. We have also been one of the only companies in the world, not just in India, to build functionally safe ISO 26262 compliant BMSs that are automotive grade, which are MCLD, ASIL-C rated. You know, this is an extremely difficult certification to get. There are, you know, less than 10 companies globally that would potentially have this, including the OEMs. And we are one of the few companies that started that journey in 2018 and took us three and a half years to get there. I also want to highlight that from a technology standpoint, right, since we started the company, and also coming from a strong software background myself, we have built the entire product and technology on a platform. So we have taken a platform approach instead of a product approach, which allows us to essentially leverage the same code base across all different BMSs, which means that whether you are deploying a BMS for a small two-wheeler, four-wheeler, bus, truck, The core technology and algorithms will be consistent, and the learnings that we get from one deployment will inherit into the future deployments. This also means that there is a strong technology and software backend to the actual hardware that is being supplied. So I want to stress upon the fact that we are a technology company, and the hardware is a delivery mechanism of the embedded software that we are developing. What does that mean? It means that every BMS that we are deploying has over 260 configurable parameters that we can configure, and that allows us, this software flexibility allows us to use the same hardware across different chemistries. So I'm sure all of you are aware there are different lithium ion chemistries that are being deployed in different types of vehicles. There are different types of cells and technologies that are being used in the electrification journey. Now, instead of having to do R&D every single time and develop new products and new boards for every new chemistry, we have invested into the technology of a platform that allows us to configure the same hardware and use it across chemistries, across applications. The software also allows us to get to market faster because we have spent a lot of time on the R&D and built it in a configurable manner. So we have faster time to market. We have a better inherent technology. The algorithms for state of charge, state of health, state of energy and power, which effectively lead to better range estimation, faster charging, and you know, range optimization as well. All of those have been optimized for India, but like Anurang also mentioned, we have deployments in 15 countries. So, you know, we are CE certified, we're supplying to customers in Europe in production. And so these algorithms have really advanced over the last 5 years to a point that we are highly accurate. So that helps us, you know, beat competition, so to say, when we are in the market. All of this being said, the two other things that I want to highlight which also help us win, one is that we have built a very strong in-house R&D team. We are not doing a licensing business where we license technology from somewhere and we are just contract manufacturing and supplying it over here like some of the other players in the Indian market today. We have over 100 team members in India that are focusing on R&D. So if there is, for example, a new feature that needs to be developed, if there is some new R&D to be done for faster charging, improved range, better safety, we can do that in-house inside of our company in India and deploy it at the customer end. Lastly, on the cost, since you mentioned, I think that, of course, incentives are a big part of the cost, but I believe that the product itself has to be designed, value engineered and designed for the safety, the features that you want to offer to the customer, and also value engineered for mass deployment. So we've really focused on the design and the product itself, and now with Endurance, leveraging better supply chain, operations, manufacturing, we'll be able to beat competition on prices while also offering better quality and value to the customer.
Got it. Thanks for elaborate answer. Second question pertains to who are our key customers currently and which all segments do we cater to?
Yes, so we work with various different OEMs. Of course, there are many new age OEMs that we work with. I can name a few of them. Some of them I can't name just yet. For example, the ones that we're in production with, there's a company called Electric Motion in France that has been building motorcycles with our BMS for over 3 years now. There's Ray Electric in Spain that we've also done a press release with that are building high-performance scooters based out of Spain, and they have been in production with us for quite some time. In India, we've been working with many large battery pack makers. Again, unfortunately, can't name them just yet. You know, very soon, now that they know about this partnership, we will get their consent and we'll be able to name them, you know, in the future. But as it stands, I can tell you, practically speaking, the top five battery pack makers in India, whether lead acid or lithium ion, are working with us and in production. When it comes to OEMs in India, again, unfortunately, can't name some of these OEMs because they have not yet, formally launched their vehicles in some cases or formally announced their suppliers and partners. But I can tell you that, you know, some of the world's largest, not only India's largest, but some of the world's largest OEMs have selected us as their BMS supplier after a rigorous, testing and validation, almost 1.5 years, because it's also their entry into electrification. So they want to make sure they're choosing the right partners. And this is sort of what has led to a very strong order pipeline, like Anurang mentioned. And we will be entering into production with these OEMs very shortly this year and also next year.
Okay. And when you said world's largest OEMs, you're referring on the two-wheeler side?
Yes, two and three-wheeler.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And lastly, can you talk about the other products which you are working on, which would be your focus area beyond BMS?
Yes, absolutely. So, look, essentially the way that you should think about Maxwell is a company that is focusing on building core capabilities. At the intersection of those core capabilities, we'll be building new products in the future. Those capabilities can be defined as sensing, estimation, and functionally safe actuation, which means that we will be using advanced sensors to sense data, use that data, have proprietary algorithms that estimate values from that data, and based on that estimation, take action in a functionally safe manner. And BMS is, of course, one of the key products at that intersection. Now, apart from BMS, one of the products that we have already started doing R&D on is telematics. We believe that the telematics controllers are going to be a very valuable component into the sub-assemblies of electric vehicles as the world moves towards not only an electric but also a connected mobility environment moving forward. Practically all the new age OEMs want their vehicles connected to the cloud. They want to collect data from that. They want to analyze that data. They want to offer services on top of that. And all of those things will be unlocked with a telematics gateway, which has to be, again, functionally safe and automotive grade, which is our, next product, so to say, which will be the telematics controller. We also have a high voltage BMS that will be built for automotive, four-wheeler and buses, trucks applications. So we're going to be investing heavily on building a ISO 26262 compliant automotive BMS for high voltage applications, not only on the mobility side, but also on stationary. So as we move towards renewable energy, there's a big ESS, grid connected batteries, UPS's opportunity, telecom opportunity, that with 5G and 4G, the battery backups that go inside of these applications. There are really a lot of different variations in terms of applications of the BMS that we will build for, and also new product platforms like the TCU itself that we'll also go into.
Oh, got it. Thanks. Just clarification on the European business. Did we indicate that we have been only able to recover energy cost inflation on the 5% of our portfolio, and the balance 95% is what we are in discussion with?
Massimo, can you reply that?
Yes. No, we are able to recover, due to our contract with our customer, the material cost. The increase of material cost. And so it means that it's more or less 1% of our EBITDA, okay? But regarding the energy that affected our profitability in the previous financial year, more or less 3.2%, we are discussing with our customers. Till today, only BMW recognized the increase of this energy cost, but BMW, unfortunately, is 5% of the total portfolio, customer portfolio of Endurance. And so BMW, the increase of price of BMW has an impact of more or less 350,000 euros per year. Now we are discussing with our major customer. Our major customer, as you know, are Volkswagen Group with more or less 25%, Stellantis Group with another 27%, and Daimler with 18%. And we are working in order to try to convince them to recover this part of this increase of energy in our price.
Got it. And in this quarter, we have seen substantial increase in the European business RM cost on QOQ basis. Is that more to do with the mix, or that's a reflection of higher aluminium and energy prices?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? An increase in which other expenses?
Raw material cost
is due to the increase of raw material. Only in this quarter, we have had an impact in the cost of material of 6 million of euro due to the increase of aluminium. In the total financial year, the increase is 15 million of euros. But this increase of cost is 100% recognized by our customer. And so you have the impact in the cost of material and also in the revenue. For this reason, you have a reduction in your EBITDA in terms of percentage, because the total amount remains the same, but in terms of percentage, you have an impact, 1.1%. In fact, we closed the EBITDA with 14.1% in terms of percentage. Without consider the increase of aluminium, the EBITDA would have been 15.2%, 1.1% of difference.
Got it. And sorry, one last clarification on the India business. The incentives which we are getting, they are getting over by FY24, right? And the additional incentives which we are in discussion with the government. Can you clarify
okay,
that?
I'll request Mr. Satyajit Rai, who's our director and CFO, to answer this.
Jinesh, the incentives, to give you broad numbers, out of roughly 446 crores over the last few years, we booked 265 crores already. Okay, so the balance will be booked over the next 3 to 4 years, and we'll apply for 2019 to 2024 scheme, where the threshold of application is on capex spent above 350 crores. So I can't tell you what the number will be when we apply sometime, hopefully next year. At that point in time, once we get an eligibility certificate, we'll be able to talk about that. But another input would be that out of the 265 crores that we booked, we've already recovered 147 crores from Maharashtra government.
Got it. Thanks, I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please limit your question to two at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Anurang, first question, just a clarification on the Maxwell acquisition. Couple of things here. One, the upfront, you know, payment of 135 crores. How much does it? How much of the value goes into the company, and how much is paid as a part of, buying shares of promoter? And secondly, did you give a breakup of the 150 crore order book in terms of how much is exports, domestic, or the vehicle segment? If not, if you can share that, please.
See, the first part, as far as the rupees 135 crores, I mean, that is something we will not be able to share, And what was your second question?
150 crores breakup of orders.
Akhil, would you like to just give that? Yeah, so I'll request Akhil Aryan to give that.
So just clarifying, the question is the order pipeline, does that come from India or Europe, the breakup and applications of that, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so, I would say that so far, I would say in this year, our business is going to come about 50-50 from India and from Europe. We plan on increasing the India share moving forward, especially because India is a focus and key market for us. So in terms of orders moving forward, especially the orders that we have in our pipeline, a large portion of that, so I would say over 80%, comes from India. Fundamentally driven by the OEMs that I previously mentioned, we are entering into production with. Not just on the vehicle side, but also on the battery pack manufacturing and assembly. I also mentioned in the start that we are at an inflection point in India when it comes to electric vehicles and lithium-ion batteries in general. So a lot of business coming from India is actually, growing at a faster and faster pace as we go, quarter by quarter. But that being said, a large portion of the order book currently comes from Indian customers that we have been quoting and sort of really integrating our product with for the last 1.5 years. We are in the final stretch of entering production very soon this year, as well as in some products next year. In terms of the split of applications, a large portion of our focus has been 2- and 3-wheelers. So I would say at least, again, from the order pipeline, about 70% of that will come from 2-wheelers and 3-wheelers. The rest of it will come from a split of stationary storage, industrial applications, some other automotive applications that are smaller in size, which includes, bicycles, kick-scooters, and so on. And last but not the least, some sample sales that we've started for the 4-wheeler application, because we want to try and enter that maybe, starting next year. We want to start quoting the customers and integrating with them as soon as possible, so that when push comes to shove, we have a product to launch.
Sure. And like you highlighted, we'll be, you're targeting the entire spectrum of automobiles from 2-wheelers to, buses. So how do you see the, development to production time now with, endurance backing and the endurance cross-leveraging opportunity?
Look, I think the company right now is already in production, right? So we are not waiting for production. We are in supply and in production with many of our customers. The Endurance partnership helps us amplify that, right? So we are looking at this partnership to both consolidate our supply chain, operations, manufacturing, R&D, and at the same time amplify business growth by entering new OEMs, new markets, new customers that, of course, Endurance has access to much better than us as it stands. So we already have a supply chain in place. We have a strong partner for manufacturing that is helping us, you know, assemble these boards, deliver to our key customers that are in production. And as time passes, we will potentially try and bring that in-house, again, consolidate the strength, lower the cost for us, improve our margins, and be able to control the supply chain fully.